And welcome back. Scenes of burned out and looted businesses in Ferguson last summer and fall left vivid memories. The more recent disturbances also targeted some businesses. What's the impact of all of this having on the business community in Ferguson? My guest this segment has a first-person perspective. Joshua Ray Davis is the owner of Best Insurance and Always Love and Care, an in-home care agency located on West Florissant, the epicenter of Ferguson demonstrations, as we all know. He's been in business for 25 years, and he's chairman of the newly formed Delwood Ferguson West Florissant Business Association. Also with us a little bit later will be John Zisser of Zisser Tire and Auto, whose business on West Florissant, that is, was vandalized twice last year. Signs of that damage remain to this day. Joshua Ray, thank you so much for being with us.
Don, I appreciate the opportunity.
Nice of you to spend some time.
Yes.
Let me start by asking you about this new association. Right. What is it designed to do? And I'll make an assumption that it's a result of what's gone on in the streets.
Yes, a big part of the association is to get the businesses primarily along the Delwood and West Florissant corridor to come to the table and get all of our ideals together. With all of the unrest and things going on, it's easy for one individual to come one at a time to a group of individuals that want to provide help or resources. But the association was formed so that we can have one group. It's like a think tank to get us together to decide once things start happening, they start the rebuilding process, that we are part of the process.
What sort of help and resources are available now?
One of the big projects that we have, it's coming from the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, and it's a facade improvement program. And it's a matching grant that it's allowing the business owners and the tenants anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 to do facade improvements. One of the things we realize along the West Florissant corridor with all of the unrest and the images that are being portrayed by the media, the facades in the buildings don't really look inviting. So this facade improvement will be a first step of getting that that curb appeal and getting that inviting feeling to get individuals to stop. We have a lot of traffic going up and down West Florissant, but we just can't get people to stop and pull over to patronize our businesses.
What sort of damage did you experience in your immediate neighborhood?
My building is right above the 911 beauty salon that was damaged, of course, a second time. Delina, the owner there, she's actually my vice chair, as well as my business is right above where the young man was involved in the shooting. So that long building at 9191.
Most recently.
Yes, yeah. Most recently. Mm-hmm. We have offices on the second floor, mm-hmm. So we're upstairs. Last year when they did a lot of the damage to the first floor, they busted a lot of the windows and the back windows. They did come up to the second floor but didn't do a lot of damage or harm to the second floor businesses.
I wonder why it is that salon was targeted twice. It seems so innocuous and so so innocent of you. Do you have any idea?
No, you know, I think what happened when I was watching the media, that as individuals congregate, I think either people get restless or they think there's an opportunity to get something for nothing. You know, I really don't know why that happened.
Did you at any time consider just pulling out that there's too much going on?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. My wife and I, Lisa Davis, for the insurance business, I've been over there 25 years. And I'm dedicated to Ferguson. Ferguson has been good to my family. I've raised all of my kids there. My kids went through Catholic school, and one is in college. I got a daughter that's a junior at Rosati. So that Ferguson's been good to us. But that's our livelihood. That's our way of life. We don't have an alternative.
Ferguson has really gotten a bad rap. I mean, as a community, it's a pretty solid community. And now this.
Yes, and I think conversations that we're having like this, Don, kind of opens everyone's eyes because that's really just a small part of what Ferguson is about. Ferguson is a great community. It's a close-knit community. And like anything else, we have our problems and things to work out. But it's a great community to raise a family, to own a business. Again, like I've been there 25 years, and I plan, God willing, to be there another 25 years.
Yeah. We have John Zisser with us on the line. You know John.
Yes, I know John. I spoke with him yesterday.
I would think that you probably would. John Zisser of Zisser Tire and Auto, thank you so much for being with us. I know you're on the road. You can spend a little time, and we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your situation right now following the most recent problems out there in Ferguson. You come out of it all right?
Yeah, we had no damage, and we're on the kind of the outskirts. of where the action is, I guess you could call it. And we actually did a little preventive of boarding up the only two windows we have left. And, you know, they did break out the window in the building that was next to us. It broke one window, and that was about the extent of the damage that was up on our end, because we're actually in Delwood on the, I guess, the north end of West Florissant.
So it's happened again. Do you give any thought, John, to saying enough already? I've had enough.
Well, again, you know, everyone asked that question. I'm a building owner, and, you know, I've been there since 87, in the area since 84. And it's just not that easy to say, okay, I'll leave, you know, and start over again. It's just really not an option for me at this time.
Before the most recent problems out there, you had told our reporter, Maria Altman, during a story she did with you, that everything seemed very positive, that we were on the right track, and then this. Give us your take on the second wave of problems this past weekend.
You know, it's just kind of depressing for me. It's just difficult to deal with. You know, we've come this far. You know, you see changes that are, you know, have been requested, that are needed, and then we go through this whole thing over again, and people just don't have anything better to do. I mean, we're making, you know, progress, and as far as progress goes, I think pretty darn fast compared to what the pace that these things usually take place in.
Joshua Ray, how about that pace? Are you in sync with Mr. Zisser on that?
You know, yes, I am. We've got a project that's going to be starting up with the East Gateway Great Streets Project. We're looking at doing an engineer study to get a full engineering plan and scope, and hopefully start funding 2016 with construction beginning in 2017 to start improving the West Florissant corridor.
Right. And how about with regard to the relationship between blacks and whites in Florissant? Has that gotten better?
You know, that has always been not a problem for me per se, with me being an insurance business. I go across all lines. But I can say in the last year since the incident that I've been in more dialogue, a diverse dialogue in a room of individuals more in the last year than I've been in the 20 years that I've been there. And everyone is receptive. Everyone is open-minded. And I think everyone's consensus is this is our community. We're one, and we're going to come out of this great.
John Zisser, feel the same way?
Well, you know, we have never had a black and white issue with anyone in the neighborhood since I've ever been there. It's never been a black and white issue going on. You know, it's just our customers are our customers, and I don't know. I've really never even looked at it that way. It's just it just doesn't exist, and I've never seen it or heard of anyone else talking about it. Exist anywhere.
Well, the problem seems to be, and we seem to be losing contact with you, John Zisser, the problem seems to have been with the association and relationship between police and some of the African-American citizens. Have you lost business, John Zisser, as a result of these difficulties?
Oh, sure. You know, we're still down anywhere from 10% to, 30-40% on certain days, but at least it's getting closer to the 10% side than it was the 40% side, which we've seen in the past.
Well, that is good news. And are you a part of this association that we've been talking about, the Delwood Ferguson West Florissant Business Association?
Yes, we are.
Perhaps that can help. Well, again, we're losing your signal. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your trip to spend a few moments with us, John Zisser. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, John.
All righty. Thank you very much.
We'll be back
Bye-bye.
To continue our conversation with Joshua Ray Davis in just a moment, but we have to take that break. Let's do that now. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now, Now back to our conversation with Joshua Ray Davis, owner of Best Insurance and Always Love and Care, an in-home care service or agency in Ferguson. You mentioned a couple of moments ago that you're aware of a lot of people just driving by.
Right.
How obvious is that to a businessman?
Well, you know, my office faces West Florissant, and we are kind of like in the center of everything. So I get a front view. As a matter of fact, I have a front row seat to the drive-by, the protests, everything. But it's interesting because what you find are more curious onlookers. Even to today, when I left this morning, individuals pulling over, still taking pictures, photographs, and things like that. But they just don't stop. It's more curiosity, mm-hmm. what's going on in Ferguson.
Right. You're in the insurance business as well.
Yes.
What's the insurance part of the story? I mean, a lot of damage was done.
Yes.
And I'm sure insurance companies are paying for that. I wonder what's happening to rates and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, when you have something like this, it's considered kind of like an anomaly with the insurance companies. So it becomes pretty tough for underwriters or actuaries to insure against it. But it becomes what's called a claims frequency issue. So when you say Ferguson for your business, the insurance company that sends up a red flag. To decide whether they want to reinsure depending on your claims or losses. But they cannot just deny coverage if you're trying to get coverage in Ferguson if you haven't had any losses.
Has there been any indication of what the bill has been so far for what damage has been incurred?
You know, not at all. I haven't had my finger on the pulse of that. I just know that I do have conversations. I've had conversations with a lot of business owners that are having to reshop or that have been non-renewed because of repetitive claims from the unrest.
What can business owners such as yourself and some of the people on the first floor, you're actually fortunate to be on
right.
the second floor, I guess, but what can some of those people, those business owners do to try to regenerate what's been lost?
I think what's going to happen with the resources that we have, we're getting ready to start a really aggressive mass marketing campaign to drive business to Ferguson. And I think as they see the onlookers and we drive their business toward them, just be prepared when individuals walk through the door.
Just be prepared, a little extra smile, that sort of thing. Is that what we're talking about?
That's it. I mean, you know, an apple is an apple, but I think customer service, a friendly smile, and a warm, comforting environment makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. Again, I'd like to go back to the incentives. Is there anything that the state can do, that the county can do with regard to incentivizing people to stay, number one, mm-hmm. or to come in to start a business there?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing as we go forward with our Great Streets project, we are going to be looking for funding from the, you know, the state and the federal government to assist us in rebuilding that stretch of road. And then right now, as we as a community or as association solicit funds for rebuilding, because the biggest part of it, if we get our curb appeal and we get the pretty look, I made a comment today at my association meet, you know, you can put an ugly man in a pretty suit, but if once that outside is done, what do you have for the inside? Mm-hmm. So the internal core growth of all the businesses is going to be key. You know, mentoring, bringing in aggressive and developing aggressive business plans just to sustain it. But it's a long road because of that character.
How do you sell it? How do you sell Ferguson today?
I think right now we sell it on the history of Ferguson. Ferguson has been around since the 1800s. It's been around a while. And I think like anything else, I think the good that's going to come from it and the longevity of the business along that corridor, like John and myself, he's been there 25, 30 years. I've been there 25 years. For the long-comers, we're just there to stay. And I think that history, you can never get rid of history. Even if there's an anomaly in history that throws you a curve, you still have a long history of success and community and togetherness to go on.
What kind of conversations have you had with fellow business people who are trying to decide whether to stay and what their future is going to be? I'm sure you've had those kinds of conversations.
Yes, and I think for every conversation I have where the businesses are kind of exhausted and they're kind of tired, because what John stated is probably consistent along the corridor, 30-40% drop off in business along the corridor. But just like him, it's just not that easy when you've put in your own time, your sweat equity into a business to walk away. And I think the majority of the businesses that I can speak for, 90%, 95% of the businesses are there for the long haul. Mm.
What's been the worst part of all of this for you? On both a personal level, if I may ask, and also a business level.
I think the worst of it is character. And I think I speak for the businesses as well as Ferguson, that this whole instance has been a really bad strike on the overall character. Yes, there are systemic changes that need to be made, and there is progress going in the right way. But the biggest thing is to not judge Ferguson on the mistakes or the mishaps of a few, because we are a community, and that community is outside of the mistakes that a few people have made. So it's character, and getting that character back to not attack the character of the individual or the community.
Do you think that the state of emergency that's been imposed, and as of this moment, as far as I know, is still in effect, good idea? Was that helpful, do you think?
Yes. You know, actually, I think it was a good idea, because it sends a message, and it was comforting to the business owners to know that this time around that we were going to have the resource to be protected and to have a strong arm and a visible presence, I think, is any deterrence. So I think it was a good call.
Did you have any sense, Josh Ray, that before Michael Brown's death, that there was any kind of a problem in people getting along in Ferguson?
You know, not at all. I mean, like I said, I've been there 25 years, and the businesses, even in my area, where 911 is, you know, individuals stayed late. You know, the doors were always open. You know, people worked late, walked up and down the street, you know, but sometimes there are hidden things that go on behind the scenes that are not visible to the public. Yeah. But no, nothing at all that I can put my finger on for the 25 years I've been there.
And do you also live in Ferguson?
No, actually, I live in Florissant, but I own a home for 25 years in Jennings, which is about 2-3 minutes from my office.
How often is your association going to be meeting and trying to work through some of these issues that you've discussed earlier?
The association meets once a month, and I meet with my officers twice a month. So we're going to continue to have ongoing conversation and dialogue to put together objectives so that, again, we are ready when we're invited to the table to be a part of the decision process as they rebuild.
The association was developed before this last weekend, I assume.
Yes, actually, the association, we've been in talks with the association right after probably 3-4 months ago to form an association, because we had a lot of individuals wanting to come in and help, and we thought it important to have one voice and be going in one direction.
How much of a setback was this past weekend?
You know, it was funny you asked that, Don, because I was sitting with my wife, and we got up through Sunday, and we said, okay, everything's going to be great. We had some peaceful protests. People are making a difference. We're going to get through this. And then Sunday night. Again, you look and say, okay, not again. But after the first day, the Ferguson Police Department did a great job. You know, there was a little melee, but then St. Louis County stepped in. There was more media started to disappear. After Tuesday, I told my wife and the businesses, we're going to be fine.
Well, I hope you are.
Right.
Have you lost business? That's discernible?
Again, for me also, it's down 30%, 30, 40%. I think the biggest thing is just having to accommodate customers who are still uncomfortable about coming to Ferguson, so I have to make more house calls than I've done in the past.
We have solicited some comment from people through Facebook and have some comments here. I'll just read and see if you want to react to them at all. Mm-hmm. Well, Deb wrote, I wish I could say I have gone there, meaning gone to Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I keep meaning to, but the reality is I'm never near Ferguson for any reason. I live south, work downtown, St. Louis native. I can count on hand the number of times I've been to Ferguson. I suspect my experience is not unique, and I suspect that Deb is probably not going to be showing up in Ferguson soon. If she hasn't been there before,
no.
I'm going to come down. Then Judy wrote, this is interesting. Judy is 72 years old, and she is white. And she says, we lived in Ferguson for 27 years and then moved. During last summer's protests, we made it a point to eat in Ferguson or shop there more often than once a week. I have never been afraid in Ferguson. I've driven down the Florissant Road at all hours of the day and never felt threatened, even during the times of the troubles last year. So that's what you need. You need more Judys.
Yes, yes. And I think back to your question about what would be okay and is this going to be a stain on the Ferguson book? Ferguson has a good, strong, rich history of success and community and togetherness, and I think that's going to overshadow and outweigh the problems that we're going through now.
What about other organizations aside from your association, mm-hmm. Lions Club and other organizations that are part of every community? Mm-hmm. What are they doing, do you know, in order to try to overcome what the negatives have been there?
You know what? Not at all. I know that a lot of the other organizations, the Lions, UAW, I know that in the background, whenever we need resources, like the big cleanup we had here a couple of weeks ago, they're stepping up in a monetary way to kind of assist us. Because I think the bottom line is Ferguson is the part of St. Louis County, which is a part of St. Louis. And that's why I stay encouraged, because St. Louis is going to take care of us. St. Louis County is going to take care of us. Yes, Ferguson is a part, but as a whole, the city has embraced us very much. And that's how I know we're going to be okay.
When you say St. Louis County is going to take care of us, what do you mean?
Well, when I mean that anytime there's something that happens, let's say in a small community or a small municipality, the first thing you think is, okay, we're in this by ourselves. But Ferguson is a part of St. Louis County. So the St. Louis County, you know, government and individuals, St. Louis City as a whole, because again, I know that the success of Ferguson triggers to St. Louis County, because we're in St. Louis County and North County, which triggers to St. Mm-hmm. Louis when someone's talking about relocating a business here to the city. Ferguson is a part of that big conversation that everyone needs to have.
Have you been politically active, or are you politically active in Ferguson or in county politics at all?
Not really. I mean, over and above the association, I am the president of a non-for-profit here in St. Louis downtown, the Youth and Family Center. I'm involved with a lot of non-for-profits, social services, kind of giving back to the community, because I myself, growing up in St. Louis City, has always benefited from those after-school programs, the sports programs, and things like that to help mm-hmm. build my character. So I've been involved more on the social services side and making sure our communities are strong, we have resources for housing, healthcare, and so forth and so on.
I asked that question about political involvement because there is a lot of suggestion that given the changes now that have been taking place with regard to the municipal courts mm-hmm. and fines and fees and that sort of thing, that some of those North County communities may go down. They may go bankrupt. What would happen if that happened in your mind?
You know, I think from a business perspective, political or not, of course, everyone looks at their ROI or look at their profit. But I think that if you take one source of income or one source of revenue from a business and you're running a business, you find a way to replace that revenue, regardless of the percentage that is made up. And I know you're referring to the DOJ study. And mm-hmm. and again, it's been around for a while, but I think now we know that everyone knows that it's been going on. You know, I'm not shocked that it exists, but they'll figure out a way to get around it.
But if, in fact, they don't, then you might lose a percentage of those communities. What would that impact be in your mind if, in fact, they did go down?
I think that the worst-case scenario for me, Don, and the worst-case in Ferguson is that, like any company, maybe looking at economies of scale that will merge with another community, or maybe we'll bring together four, five, or six municipalities. That's worst-case scenario, yeah. But I can't see it just going away.
Well, Joshua A. Davis, I want to wish you the very best, and thank you for coming in. I know you probably reflect the attitude and feelings of a lot of people in business out there.
Yes.
And a lot of them are hurting, and hope that those who are hurting will soon hurt no more. The right medicine comes through organizations such as yours and through the county and whomever.
Yes.
It's been a sad episode, needless to say, and hurt a lot of people. But
no,
thank you so
it.
Much for being with us. Joshua A. Davis is the owner of Best Insurance and Always Love and Care, which is an in-home care agency in Ferguson. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc.
Once again for being with us. That does it for us today. We'll ask you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape. Well, he'll take a look at the Gesher Memorial Music Festival, that is, new look, and at the Missouri History Museum's newest permanent exhibit, History Clubhouse. And in the next installment of Sound Bites, produced with Sauce Magazine, Steve and his guests will talk about what it's like being a regular at a restaurant. And he'll say goodbye to Sauce's executive editor, LaGaya Figueres. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Lindenwood University President Michael Schoenrock. And as the 95th anniversary of the amendment giving the right to vote approaches, we'll talk about women's suffrage. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Anya O'Connor and Spencer Reed. Executive producers Robert Peterson. The program is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.